Well, this morning I want to speak on the subject, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I know that we all like a life of peace, and indeed, it's easy to settle down. It's easy to settle into a life of peace because, you know, we have a comfortable lifestyle here in the United Kingdom. We have a roof over our head. We have food on the table. Many of us have got a nice car to drive around in. Our kids go to nice schools. They all get a good education. As a church, we have a nice building to worship in. We have good preachers most of the time. We have good music. We are contented maybe with our small groups. Maybe we are contented with our life and contented with our church. I want to point out this morning that there's a great danger in this kind of contentment, because there is a danger of becoming self-satisfied. We can begin to feel, well, you know, things are good with me. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I go to church. I pray. I read my Bible. What more can I do? I'm okay. I'm fine. But you know what? God never intended us to stand still. We were never born again to settle down. We were never born again to stand still. Because you and I, we have a call of God on our lives, just like Joshua did. Joshua had a call not to settle on the borders of the promised land. Joshua had a call to get right in there, to confront the giants, and to take that land that God had destined for his people. And there is a call of God on your life not to settle, but to lift your eyes to see that God has called you, that there is a land ahead of you, there is a land in front of you. And that's not pie in the sky when you die, that's meat on your plate while you wait. Okay? God has got meat ready for you to put on your plate. God has got a destiny for you, as we say, helping you to achieve your destiny. So God never intended you to stand still. We are intended to be soldiers, not squatters. What do? Soldiers move. Soldiers advance. Soldiers take land. Soldiers are never standing still. And so I want to say this morning, what I feel God is saying to us as a church, it's time to crank it up a notch. It's time to move to a new level. Amen? Yes. It's time to move on. We have to ask ourselves, have we stayed in this place for too long? You know, yes, we have great music, but we can be better. We have great preaching, but we can be better. We have good prayer, but we can be better. We can do better at all these things. Now, you know, Jesus said to his disciples who were following him, when he went into a lonely place to pray on the night before he suffered, Jesus called his disciples to come to him and pray, to be with him in prayer. And he had to go back to them three times because he said, you cannot even spend 1 hour with me in prayer. I want to challenge our church this morning to crank it up, in prayer, to crank it up in worship, to crank it up in preaching. God wants us to raise our level, because I feel he's saying you're good, but you've stayed in this good place for far too long. It's time to move on. We might be good, but we can still be stagnant, because a good river, a good pond that remains stagnant for a long time will attract mosquitoes. It will attract disease and will be no use for purpose after a period of time. A good vehicle that remains unmoved will attract rust. A person who lies in bed for too long will get bed sores. A person who sits in front of a television time after time will eventually become lazy. So the challenge I feel from the Lord to us this morning is, church, Life Spring, it's time to to crank it up. It's time for us to move on, because we have stayed in this place for too long. We are too settled. Even though we may be good, we are too settled. So the question to you this morning is, do you need to move on? So if we need to move on, there are certain things that we need to remember. And the first thing that we need to remember is self-awareness. You see, when we lift our eyes, we become aware of what's around us. If we only focus on our problems and we focus on our difficulties, we are only aware of our difficulties and our problems and our present situation. And it makes it so easy to settle. But when we lift our eyes, we become aware of who we are, and we become aware of where we are. Awareness, perception, is a great tool in helping us to move on. It's a great tool in knowing who we are and where we are. Joshua needed to know not only where he was, which I'm sure he was very aware of, but he also needed to know who he was. He needed to know that he wasn't Moses. Moses was a great man, but he wasn't Moses. But yet at the same time, he needed to know that he was God's chosen instrument to take the people of God from where they were to where God wanted them to be. He could not afford to spend time in comparing himself to somebody else and living in the shadow of somebody else. And maybe here this morning we've got people who are living in the shadow of somebody else's ministry. And God is saying to you this morning, it's time. It's time to move on. It's time to move out. It's time to step it up a notch. You see, God wants you to know this morning, before you go anywhere else, he wants you to lift your eyes and he wants you to know who you are. He wants you to know that you are saints and not sinners. When Paul was addressing the churches in his letters, he always addressed them as saints. If you read Philippians, if you read 1 Thessalonians or Colossians, he begins his epistles by speaking to the saints of God in Philippi, to the saints of God. He doesn't say to the sinners of God. He says to the saint. So this morning, you and I, we need to realize that we are God's holy people. We are saints of God. Peter said in his epistle, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart to declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness and translated you into his marvelous light. So there's, first of all, when you lift your eyes in prayer, you begin to see who you are. You begin to see who we are as a people, that we are saints and that we are chosen. You see, we are saints. We are not sinners. You might take that and say, well, that can't be true because I sin. Well, we may sin, but it doesn't mean to say that we are sinners. Because of Jesus, we are no longer sinners. We are saints. You know, you can take a parrot and you can teach a parrot to talk. You can teach a parrot to say anything and it can sound like a human being. But it doesn't mean to say that the parrot is a human being. The parrot is still a parrot who talks. Okay? God wants you to know this morning that you are a saint, but you sometimes sin. Okay, just like the parrot can sometimes talk, doesn't make the parrot a human being. A saint who sometimes sins doesn't make you a sinner. You are not a sinner, you are a saint. And you see, when you begin to realize that actually I am a saint, and we hate to use these terms about ourselves, because in other churches, they saint people who have lived incredibly holy lives. Mother Teresa has been made a saint. You have all sorts of saints. And so people are comparing themselves to somebody who's sort of way up there. But actually, when you become a saint, it's not because you're way up there. It's because you're way down here. It's because Jesus came into your life. It's because Jesus forgave you your sins. It's because Jesus gave you a new heart. and put a new spirit within you, and he took out of you the heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh instead. Amen. So you're a saint. So when I begin to realize that I'm a saint, I can, you know, I begin to lift my head. I begin to think, wow, Jesus Christ lives in me, the hope of glory. I can indeed do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can take that land. There is a promised land. I can see it as I lift my eyes, that God has got an amazing plan, an amazing purpose, and an amazing destiny for me. So, yes, we all have weaknesses, and we need to be aware of our weaknesses, but our sins and our weaknesses do not define who we are. What defines who you are is the fact that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, and behold, the new is here. So, Joshua did not define himself by who Moses was. So, don't base your identity on other people, because if you do, you will never move on. You will always live in somebody else's shadow. So we need to, when we lift our eyes, we see who we are, but we also see where we are. And we need to honestly make an assessment about where we are. What's working for us and what's not working for us? What's good about us, but also, where do I need to improve? Where do we need to improve as a church? I need to ask myself, am I listening to those around me who are pouring good advice into my life? Am I listening to godly men and godly women in my life? Or am I listening to my peers and my friends who are telling me all sorts of ungodly stuff? And we know where all that stuff leads. And so when people speak into my life, do I find myself making excuses? Do I find myself giving those people pushback whenever I'm confronted about stuff in a loving way? And I was in Jacqueline's group on Friday night, and Jacqueline was saying, basically, that wherever you find that people speak into your life and they give you pushback, that's an indication that you've got a stronghold of the evil one in your life that needs to come down. And we sing in this church, every stronghold shall be broken, every high place will come down. And we are determined by the grace of God that every stronghold in our lives that the devil would seek to use against us or use against our church, that in Jesus' name, it will come down. It shall not be allowed to stand. So the first thing is, we need to develop our self-awareness, who we are and where we are, and we need to lift our eyes. Because, you know, good awareness will help you to make the right decisions. You'll make the right calls about your life. Now, I know yesterday Wales were playing Scotland in a rugby match. Now, just imagine, during the week, I got a phone call from, he said, hello, is that Mike Phillips? And I said, yes, this is Mike Phillips. He said, well, this is Rob here, speaking with a Welsh accent. He said, you know, our scrum half has just got a serious injury and he won't be able to play on Saturday. We want you to come in and we want you to... join us in practice, because we believe that, you know, you have the leadership ability and you have the skills and, you know, to be the playmaker for this team when we're playing Scotland on Saturday. And so I could say, if I was unwise enough or stupid enough, I could say, sure, I'll be there straight away. I could find myself confronted by these 20 stone players. So that would be very, very unwise for me and at my age and my condition. But you never know. I could actually do extremely well. Who knows? Most unlikely. Or if I was wise, I could have said, are you sure you've got the right number? Are you sure you've got the right Mike Phillips? Because I do know that I share a name with a Mike Phillips who has played rugby for Wales in the past. Are you sure you've got the right number? I'd say, I'm actually the pastor of a church in New Ullerton in North Nottinghamshire. And so Rob would say, oh, I'm ever so sorry. Obviously a case of mistaken identity. So, you see, when I know who I am, I make the right call. Yeah. I don't get myself into that kind of a situation where I could get seriously injured or seriously hurt. Into a situation where I'm not actually ready to take on something that somebody is asking me to take on. So self-awareness helps me to make the right calls and the right decisions about my life. And not just self-awareness, but we also need to be able to control our emotions. Now, this is vitally important if we're going to move on into our promised land. Because when you lose control of your emotions, you lose your power. And you give your power, you give your anointing, and you give your influence away. You see, Joshua needed to be able to control his emotions in this difficult situation that he was placed in. Moses, God's servant, was dead, and now Joshua was being asked to take the people across the Jordan and confront the enemies in the promised land. He could have been overawed. He could have been overcome by emotion. He could have been paralyzed by fear at the thought of taking over from Moses. Maybe he could have felt so inferior and lacking in confidence that he thought, let's settle here. You know, Moses was an amazing man. He achieved amazing feats. He stretched his rod out over the Red Sea and it parted in two. He led the slaves out of Egypt. He got water out of the rock. When they needed food, he had birds fly in, flocks of birds fly in every day and present themselves to the frying pan. That was amazing, wasn't it? Yeah, he had amazing power and amazing ability. He was this man now, and Joshua is being expected to step into his shoes, as it were. And he could have been overawed. He could have been overcome by negative feeling and by negative emotions. But he wasn't. So the application for us is, are we like that? Do we feel like that sometimes? Do we feel overawed? Do we feel paralyzed by fear? Because fear is something that will stop you in your tracks from moving into your promised land. And you know what God is saying to us at this moment when he's saying to step it up a notch? He's saying, be bold, be strong. Be strong and very courageous. That's what he said to Joshua. This is a time for you and I, for our church, wherever you come from in this country, it doesn't matter. But God is saying to you this morning, this is a time for you to be bold. This is a time for courage. This is a time for strength. This is not a time for us to give in to our emotions or to feel inferior or to feel that we're overawed or to be lacking in confidence. This is a time to stand up and to be counted. This is a time to step up a notch. You see, I believe that with strong, courageous people, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. With strong, courageous, generous people who are not afraid of the challenges that lie ahead of us, we can move into our promised land. We can pay off that £100,000 mortgage long before the 30-year period. You know, we can double our congregation. We can treble our ministries. We can grow our staff. The possibilities are endless. We can see our people who come to our Alpha courses, you know, amazingly increase. We can see ourselves incredibly effective in evangelism. But all of these things are contingent on what God said to Moses, that this is a time for boldness. This is a time for courage. I might have told you this story before, but my sister, when she was 18 years of age, she went to London all on her own. And she was obviously overawed by this amazing city, having come from a little village in Ireland, just like myself. Yeah, she was feeling alone. She was feeling, you know, quite down and quite depressed in herself. And she was walking down the street one day and she looked up and she saw this billboard, which was actually an advert for a beer. She didn't know that, but this beer said, "Take courage." And she said, just reading that, "Take courage." She said it changed her whole perception, her whole attitude to be in London. And she went on and met her husband there and had her children there. She lived there in England for about 20 years after that. But you know what? That's a word for us this morning, to be strong and very courageous. But you know, we can be aware, we can be perceptive, We can be strong, feeling strong and courageous, but we can be doing all those things sitting at home. We can be doing all those things watching our television, because none of those things mean anything unless we take action. Because the Bible says that we should be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. God wants you to take action about your awareness. God wants you to take action about what he's saying to you. God wants you to take action on your courage and on your spirit of boldness. But I just want to communicate to you this morning a spirit that I feel God wants to give us. He wants to give us courage and boldness so that we step out into the streets of Ollerton this year. We run a campaign during the summer holidays. When we step onto the streets of Ollerton, we put our band outside Turnaround. We get outriders. We have the cafe open. We have prayer going off in here. God wants us to crank it up a notch and to be bold and brave and strong. Why? Because God's promise is with us. The Lord, your God, is with you, and he will not allow you to fail. So be self-aware, control your emotions, but take action. Now, there's a recipe for moving on. There's a recipe for moving into your promised land. You know, our church, I would say, is an environment where action is encouraged, where ministries are not squashed, an environment where you can actually function, an environment where you can actually be bold, where you can step out into something new. Just give you a brief list of ministries that we have started in the past. We've given people the freedom. They're not all working now, but this is a list of some of them. A drugs and alcohol ministry, the turnaround shops. We run 3 turnaround shops now. We have youth groups. We have after-school clubs, performing arts group, share ministry, CAP center, life groups of all sorts of descriptions, cafe church, music group. The list could go on. So the environment is there. The ethos is there. The social environment is there for people to thrive and to function and to grow. That's not an issue. Maybe we can improve our systems for getting people into ministries. But, you know, the environment is there because you can hang out with eagles. You don't have to go around with turkeys. Because when you hang out with eagles, you learn to fly. Okay, hang out with turkeys and you'll end up on the plate on Christmas Day. So, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. Connect with our environment that we have here at LifeSpring if you are serious about moving on into your promised land. I want to say that we are going to work over the next couple of months at getting better systems in place so that you can connect with our environment, so that it's easy for you to move on. It's easy for our church to move on to where God wants it to be. Hang out with those who are moving on. Take action with those who are taking action and get involved. So in conclusion today, yes, it's easy to settle. But if you hang out at LifeSpring, we're not going to allow you to settle for too long. We want you to move on. We want you to grow. We want maturity. We all need to move on and grow and mature. Yes, especially if Moses is dead. And maybe Moses has died in your life. Maybe something has died. It could be that you have failed at something or something hasn't worked out. Maybe you feel inferior or that you aren't good enough or that you're living in somebody else's shadow. Well, God wants to say to you this morning, that does not need to be the case anymore. He wants to instill boldness and courage into your life. He wants you to open your eyes. He wants you to be aware that there is a land before you ready to be taken. Lift your eyes and see that, you know, you will know the goodness of God in the land of the living. What God has for you is good. It's a blessing. It's to prosper you. Not that we teach a prosperity gospel, but we believe that God wants to prosper his people. Why else did he take the giants out of the land so the people could have food and could prosper in the land? God wants your soul to prosper, wants your body to prosper, wants your life to prosper. That's what God wants for you and for me. So lift your eyes. Secondly, learn to control your emotions and be strong. be stable, especially in leadership. We need men and women who are stable, who are not blown around by every wind of doctrine or opposition or problem. So we want you to open your eyes. We want you to learn to control your emotions, and God wants you to take action.